You're listening to the Texas Standard.
Texas history is chock full of big names. Sam Houston, Stephen F. Austin, Lorenzo de Zavala. But how about Joaquin de Arredondo? He played an important role in the area now known as Texas back in the 19th century. But there's a reason we don't have streets and elementary schools named after Arredondo. He's remembered as a ruthless butcher. Fittingly, the cover of the new biography about Joaquin de Arredondo looks to be blood-splattered. Arredondo, last Spanish ruler of Texas and northeastern New Spain, is out now. The author is Bradley Folsom, adjunct professor of history at UT Arlington. Bradley, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks a lot, Laura. It's nice to be on with you guys.
So Joaquin de Arredondo has been your subject of passion for a while now, the topic of your dissertation I saw before you went on to write this full biography. What drew your interest to this figure that many of us don't know much about?
Well, it came back to this question I always had. I always wondered why Spain and later Mexico invited Americans into Texas. It was just in 1818, 3 years before Spain initially invited these Americans, that Andrew Jackson had invaded Florida and essentially forced Spain to cede that territory to the United States. So why, if you have Americans invading one of your territories, would you then invite Americans into your other territory? And then why would Mexico follow suit and invite Americans as well? Got me looking into matters, and I discovered that in 1813, essentially Texas had been depopulated by about half. This guy had come through, turned out to be Joaquin de Arredondo, and he had killed a good percentage of Texas's Spanish population and driven the significant percentage of Texas's population to flee to the United States.
So we know in general the history of Texas is bloodstained. I mean, the first thing people think of is, you know, the Battle of the Alamo and those other big battles. But Arredondo, as you kind of hinted there, truly exemplifies this. He's remembered in large part for his willingness to shed blood of those who stood in his way. But was he really worse than other military leaders at the time?
People in Mexico from 1810, when the War for Mexican Independence broke out, to 1821, everyone was doing some pretty brutal things. The Mexican War for Independence was very different than the American Revolution. In the American Revolution, relatively little bloodshed. Mexican War of Independence was very bloody. You know, you had people fighting for numerous different sides. It wasn't just like in the American Revolution, colonists and the English. It was people fighting for revolution, handful of people fighting for Napoleon. Some people fighting for the return of the king, some people fighting for Republican government, some people fighting for, you know, more democratic government based somewhat on the Constitution of the United States. So you had all these different groups fighting with one another. And I think just about every leader realized that the only way we can get things done, or the only way we can get sort of loyalty out of people, is through violence. And so we saw a lot of people just use violence to, you know, extract loyalty out of the populations. Just, I think Arredondo probably used violence a little bit more efficiently than most other people in Mexico at the time.
So if people aren't as familiar with Arredondo himself, they're likely familiar with another historical figure you describe as his protege. That's Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna. Tell us a little about their relationship.
Well, I think the protege label, I think it actually says that on the book cover. I probably wouldn't use a protege label. I've heard that people describe Arredondo as Santa Anna's mentor. To me, that conjures up like a Mr. Miyagi Karate Kid, you know, relationship, or Obi-Wan Kenobi, Luke Skywalker. I don't think it was like that. I think it was Arredondo was an example to Santa Anna. Santa Anna was one of hundreds, thousands of soldiers that served under Arredondo. Arredondo wrote about Santa Anna a couple different times. Hey, this young cadet performed well in this battle or this battle. He gave him a number of promotions, but Santa Anna doesn't really talk about Arredondo in his autobiography as being this guy who was particularly inspiring. Santa Anna saw how Arredondo got things done by being ruthless, and the decision to kill the prisoners, offer no quarter in the Alamo. A lot of people credit that to Arredondo and think Santa Anna's decision was based on him.
So if you have a chance with this book and maybe even with this interview to rewrite the sort of short summary of Joaquin de Arredondo, would you keep it ruthless villain, or is something else more appropriate, kind of a two or three word summary?
Well, he certainly did some very, very awful things. If you look at his actions following the Battle of Medina, which is bloodiest battle in Texas history, it outnumbers the number of deaths in the Alamo and San Jacinto combined. Arredondo told his soldiers, no survivors. You know, if you see a guy trying to surrender, we're not taking any survivors here. I certainly think that is ruthless. And he went into San Antonio following this and executed people that supported revolutionaries and executed people that he even suspected of supporting revolutionaries. Very, very brutal stuff. However, having said that, it's hard to call somebody, say somebody's a bad guy or they're ruthless when everybody was ruthless at the time. So I think he definitely deserves the ruthless label, but I can understand his actions after seeing that this was the law of the land, I guess.
Bradley Folsom is an adjunct professor of history at UT Arlington and the author of the new book, Arredondo, Last Spanish Ruler of Texas and Northeastern New Spain. Bradley, thank you again.
Thanks a lot.